Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning, good morning. I am Phil Vacchio.
Good morning. I'm Kim Hance. You sound awful chipper this morning.
I'm putting on a show here, not too chipper. I am very tired. We're both from the Herzog Law Firm. I am an attorney. Kim is an aging life care manager. And some combination of myself, Kim, Dave Kubikian, or J. Marie Schaefer are here every Saturday morning talking about topics related to estate planning, estate administration, elder law, and everything in between.
Long-term care planning.
Might get into some of that.
All the things you need to know.
It's a call-in show, so feel free to give us a call and ask questions to have them answered live on air. The call-in number is 518-476-5900, or if you prefer to keep it private, you can be more than free to give our office a call. We're at 518-465-7581, and we have offices in Kingston, Albany, and Saratoga Springs, so we can come in and meet one of us wherever you are most close to, and we can talk about your situation specifically. Kim, you're just up this morning. What's going on?
Just up, you know, getting ready. We're both getting ready to head to Law Day at Albany Law School after this, which
is
kind of exciting.
Oh, is that what this is all about? Yeah,
that's thought it was all for him.
So snazzy this morning.
He's like, I was very honored.
You walks in with a suit, and I'm saying you're overdressed.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, like, last night I was already lamenting that I had to, like, be up extra early so that I could actually look presentable. I was like, yeah, I can't just roll out
and
like
come into the radio studio with no cameras around.
That's the beauty of my job.
Right?
God, you always look great. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's pretty great when you can do that.
Nobody knows.
So yeah, Kim, you have to basically sprint out of here, right? You have a 9 o'clock. We're both doing Senior Citizens Law Day at the Albany Law School,
right?
pro bono organization event.
Great.
To teach some seniors and community members about the stuff that we do, what we just, you know, said, estate planning, elder law, and everything in between.
Yeah, so J. Marie and I will be doing aging in place at 9, and then you're going to be doing what, wills versus trusts at 10:15?
I'm doing wills versus trust 10 or 10:15,
somewhere around
then. But both great topics, a great event. We're happy to participate. We had a busy week, too, this week. Big week for the Herzog Law Firm.
Yeah.
So we had our ribbon cutting, John, for the new Saratoga office.
Yeah, well, Dave was talking about that.
Yeah, it was very impressive. I mean, I've been there for less than a year, and I have to say, I had a sense of pride. We had a lot of people show up in the community.
It was pretty incredible, actually.
It really was. We had a senator there. We had a state assemblyman. We had the Saratoga Springs mayor, and four
chambers of commerce.
Chambers of commerce,
which it's interesting. You know, we belong to all the chambers, of course, and I'm actually an ambassador for Saratoga County Chamber, and I'm pretty active with the Adirondack Regional Chamber, and then Isabel is, you know, active with both Colony and Capital Region. I don't know that the four chambers have ever done something like that before. So for me, I was kind of like, this is so cool because they're all here, and it wasn't just one member of the chamber. Like, they brought several.
Yeah.
Folks from the chamber, and then
we had
a lot of colleagues that we work with that have referred clients to us or that we refer clients to them. So it was a really nice feeling because, you know, every day I leave really feeling like I've done something good.
Yeah,
right,
for sure.
That's
but the beauty of our business. Yeah,
to have that many people show up and just be a part of it and support us and say really cool things. I mean, we had some, you know, unscripted
testimonials.
Right. And then, you know, one of our favorite, clients sent flowers, and it was just a really cool,
a good feeling.
It was sort of that I do good stuff every day, you know, like it's not just the feeling I have. Like that was the true sort of cement that was like, you know, we are pretty awesome.
Yeah. And not that it Not that I questioned my decision a year ago to join the firm, but it definitely helped validate my decision. Right?
See, I was like,
I already knew that, obviously. I didn't need the extra, but really cool to see. And the firm's been around for 77 years or so, which is
I was actually
impressive.
Counting. I think it's 78.
I think
this
it is
year.
Right. They kept saying 77, but I thought was
no. It was
maybe we're in the
78th
year.
2021 was our. Was our 75th year, so I was like, oh, I think we're actually 78, so but anyway, it was a cool day, and it was nice to be able to show folks our new seminar room, community education room that
people were excited about
that.
I mean, we are too, but once they finally got to see it, they're like, wow, this really is great. We could do a lot here. Hopefully we get some of the organizations. I think hopefully the Alzheimer's organization is going to come use it for some seminars for their clients.
That's good.
So however we can help the community. And
that's what we were saying, meetings, support groups, education from other organizations. Like, I'm really super excited about that collaborative effort too, because
it's funny too. You said to me, Kim, I forget who you were speaking about, what organization, but they were like, wow. And you mentioned, you want to bring an attorney to an event, the speaking event for like their patrons. And they're like, wow, you can get an attorney would do that.
Right.
Like, surprise. And of course we want to get that education out there for the good of everybody. Cause it's important to all people. All adults.
Right. Well, and one of the things too, one of the, questions is, well, we really can't pay anything. And I'm like, no. That's not what we're about. We're not going to we don't need to be paid sort of thing. But, seniors, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, speaking at some senior centers, obviously the Alzheimer's Association, we do a lot of things for, you name it, we're kind of out there doing it. So
yeah, as much as we can.
That's also pretty exciting, but it also keeps our calendars quite full.
It does. It's hard to manage sometimes, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
I'm always good until you get behind that like slow car on a 2-lane highway. You're like, I've got to get there.
You got a meeting right before, and you're like, I got to wrap this up. Sorry, folks. Right. Yeah. I got to be somewhere.
So again, call in at 518-476-5900. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have folks' questions, because it's the best way to sort of. That thing that you've been scratching your head about, saying, I'm really wondering about this thing.
Mm-hmm. See what people are thinking, what's on their minds.
Yeah.
But you and I had a conversation a few days ago, and we've had this conversation a few times. Well, I feel like more in the past year I've seen it coming up than I have before with respect to long-term care insurance.
Yeah.
So, not a huge population of our clients has the policies,
right.
but rather... Often enough do we see these policies in place. More often than not, it's individuals who have policies from some years ago, right? They got the policy in effect when the premium cost was still low and they kept paying them. Maybe there's been some small increases, but they keep it in place. You can still get long-term care insurance.
Sure.
And there's a few different variations of long-term care insurance and options that you have that I don't think were options in the past.
Right.
But it's whether or not it makes sense for you. It's still quite expensive depending on when you're looking at it. And Kim, before I even get into long-term care insurance, what is it? What's the purpose of it, really?
Right. So, it was designed to, just like any other insurance, right, to kind of help pay for particular events. So with long-term care insurance, it's primarily home care, assisted living, nursing home, can pay for day program. It can pay for almost all things long-term care. And interestingly enough, it's become more of a topic lately because I've had like four or five clients as of late who have had long-term care insurance, and they either, for one reason or another, haven't utilized it or haven't really understood what they needed to do to use it. And in a lot of cases, people will say to me, well, no, I'm saving it. And that's like the worst thing I can hear. Because if you've got it and you've been paying all these years for it, you need to use it as soon as you meet the eligibility requirements, right?
That's the idea of insurance, right? Because you're paying for this thing that you may never need to actually use.
Right.
And to save it when you need it is kind of contradictory to the point of it, because no one knows what the future holds. If you don't use it at all now, and then, you happen to pass away or something else happens and you never use it,
You don't get anything back from it.
Typically, right.
And again, a lot of people, they have an elimination period.
Yeah.
And they don't really understand what that elimination period means. But that means that you're going to pay out of your pocket for those number of days before that policy kicks in.
And people don't look at that, right? Because when we see these,
right,
we see these contracts for the policies initially, I think a lot of people assume as soon as I need it, I can start using it. They don't look at that clause. Whoever sold it to them probably, you know, maybe glossed over that part of the contract.
Or, you know, when you're talking dollars and cents, right? Initially, when you're buying a plan, you're like, ooh, sticker shock, because my premium's going to be pretty expensive. So they'll go through all the different options. Well, depending on the elimination period you pick, right? Like, the bigger elimination period you have, the less your policy's going to be. So we have a lot of folks who their elimination period is 90 days or more. And really, that means you're going to pay out of pocket for those services for that period of time. And it's really understanding, is it calendar days, dates of service? Like, how does that all roll out, sort of thing?
Well, it's the same idea as like a deductible, right? So if I have a higher deductible, I pay more out of pocket before the policy kicks in. But I'm going to have lower premiums because of that.
Right.
So the elimination period.
And we know, you know, when we're young and viable and healthy, we're like, it's not going to be a big deal to pay 90 days. But if you're needing 24-hour care at the point that you're triggering the policy, or you're in a nursing home and you want to trigger that policy, you're looking at paying $15,000 a month out of pocket for 90 days.
And that goes to your point of waiting too long to start using it, because if the elimination period was started when I was only paying for a few hours a day versus having to pay 90 days at 15 plus hours a day, it's a huge, huge difference.
Right, or even 15 hours a week. I mean, that's what I say to people too, because when you start looking at, you know, most policies require you need assistance with two activities of daily living. And so that kind of like brings me full circle. Why are we talking about long-term care insurance? Because one of the things that we do and that I do as a care manager is, you know, we can do something that's called a pre-claim assessment, right? Where we can go in and meet with folks and do that assessment and really talk to them about what your needs are, how do we incorporate that with what the policy guidelines are and put those two things together. Because a lot of times, too, we've gotten people who come in and said, well, my insurance, you know, my long-term care insurance denied me because they said I didn't meet the minimum requirements.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just don't know how to word things correctly.
Yeah, you can appeal that denial.
Or pride comes in, right? You know, when somebody's sitting and asking you questions or doing an assessment, you want to look as good as you can. And the way I say it to people is like, you really want to answer the questions based on your worst day. And why is that? Well, some days are good and some days are not so good.
So you're referring to the actual person who needs the care, right? So they're the ones that get assessed.
Right.
And like you said, particularly with the older generation, well, really it's human nature
well,
in general.
Well, it's all of us. You know, Dave talks all the time about how he doesn't ever go to the doctor.
Yeah. You look at men in general. It's the common joke. You know, we don't see a doctor unless we're dying.
Right.
And it's the same idea. It's a pride factor. It could be embarrassing to admit that I can't do these things.
Correct.
But...
or the minute I admit that I can't do them, then that leaves an open door for somebody to say, you can't live at home anymore, or you can't...
Right, or we're taking away your keys for your car, your freedom.
And that becomes a big fear. And, you know, again, I've been working recently with a client who, you know, she's got three children, or four children, three who are very opinionated about what mom should or should not be doing.
Oh,
mom is 93.
We see that a lot.
Yep.
With the kids.
Mom is 93 years old. And yes, she's got some cognitive issues, but she's still very aware and very capable of doing things. Yes.
That's good, yeah.
Now,
well, it's also good to have kids like that to a degree that are involved in advocating, because the opposite could be there's no one involved and the person's all on their own.
No, that's true.
But
it is causing a real upheaval of things. So one of the things that I continually say to mom, you know, when she asks me, what is your role and what, you know, because of course, because I work for a law firm, the first thing is like, oh no, you're here to, you know, take my rights away or to control what my decisions are or to control me. And really what I keep saying to her, I was like, no, really my job is to advocate for you and to really help you meet whatever goals that you want that can be both safe and sustainable. Right. Those are my like two key words when I talk to people, because we really want to make sure that those things are met.
Of course. So we're coming up on the break. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about long-term care insurance and somehow how planning as well coincides. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about long-term care insurance, how it's used, what it's for, and some complications that people run into when using it or how it gets used. Kim at our office, Aging Life Care Manager, helps many of our clients navigate the process of, you know, putting a policy in place to start to enforce it, and some issues that they run into. Right before the break, we were talking about, you know, how you need to speak at the assessment to be able to start that policy, to put that policy in place, right, Kim?
Right, right. So, and it's just simply under the understanding the terminology sometimes. And, you know, when we look at what somebody's different needs are, I mean, most of the time the initial trigger is somebody who needs help with bathing and dressing, right? Those are the pretty typical activities of daily living.
Yeah.
We don't want to confuse those with, you know, a lot of times when we do our aging in place, you know, education program seminar, we talk about, you know, I sort of do that deep dive into activities of daily living versus the instrumental activities of daily living.
That right. What qualifies for each category.
Right. Yeah. So it's really understanding the language and understanding how we can mold that. The other thing that we talk about quite often is that, you know, a policy paying for assisted living, which is great because a lot of times assisted living can be a little bit cheaper than home care. It can also provide, ironically, a little more independence for folks. You know, when you've got home care in, you've got somebody one-on-one. And not, we don't always necessarily need a one-on-one aid. In assisted living, you have your own apartment. You have a lot of independence, and they're there to help you with those things that you need when you need them.
Yeah, and there's a social aspect to it, too.
Which is phenomenal.
Which is great.
So we really want to explain, like, all of the different differences that are there. But a lot of times when folks go to assisted living, they actually get better. Right,
yeah.
Because they're getting their medications on time. They're getting good, nutritious meals. So you want to also look at using that policy prior maybe to going into assisted living when you're struggling a little bit more at home with those activities of daily living, because the assisted living also has to complete some documentation, and they can't really lie that you're getting assistance with some of these things if you're not.
Or right? Stretch the truth, right?
Right. So that's why we say that really having somebody come in that's very schooled in the language and reading policies, really understanding them, is so important prior to really, you know, submitting paperwork to the insurance company and doing, you know, what we said, like doing that sort of pre-claims assessment, sitting down, explaining what the policy is or isn't. Because the other thing that happens is people are very surprised as to what their policy isn't going to cover, right? Or that their daily rate is not super high because maybe during the first round of premiums going up, they opted to drop the inflation rider, or they you know, their daily amount is not as much of, you know, for home care or assisted living as it is for nursing home.
Yeah, we see a lot of that recently.
They're very surprised that, you know, maybe my policy only covers $100 a day.
Well, I see people come in with those sheets and they say, that's in the mail, and it says my premium's going to go up by, you know, 300% of what the current cost is. But, and they have these little chart, and you, know, if you keep your coverage the way it is, it's going to go up by 300%. Or you can, you know, drop the amount of coverage and your premium will remain the same. Or you could drop it even more and your premium might go down. But then you're getting a lot less coverage. And a lot of times we have people that have these policies, they don't look at the actual numbers, or they don't compare the numbers to what the actual cost of that care is. So typically there's a difference between home care type coverage versus nursing home coverage.
Exactly.
And usually home care coverage is less, nursing home is a little bit more. But even some of them might think, oh, wow, I have a nursing home policy that covers, you know, $350 a day. I'm good. And right. don't realize that the average cost of a nursing home is, you know, $650 or so
right.
a day. So, no, it's only about half. And then even with your insurance, your, you know, monthly income, it might not cover the complete care of
right.
that. So while it's great to have in place, it doesn't always negate the need to plan ahead as well to protect some of your assets, because either it's not covering the full cost while it's being used,
right.
or you can also expend the entire policy. They almost always have a ceiling or a lifetime limit of, say, $300,000 or so. And that sounds like a lot of money until you're needing nursing home care
right.
and it's paying out at that high rate. It's going to be extinguished pretty quickly. You know, and we had a, so I had a client recently where had a really, really strong policy. You know, I think the coverage was, you know, maybe 400 or so a day in a nursing home. Mm. And either they didn't actually have a ceiling. It was for life.
Lifetime
benefit, mm-hmm. which is very rare.
Right.
Or it was a really high benefit. But even in that situation, this individual's wife was going into a facility. They both had policies that mirrored each other. So we were going to be enforcing her policy. He was still going to have to come out of pocket another $4,000 or so a month.
Mm.
And what we did was we still applied for nursing home Medicaid. Obviously, Medicaid, as we've said on the radio show, they require you to contribute your income when right. you're in a nursing home to pay for some of it. But also, we had that long-term care policy in place, which paid for a piece of it, a large
right.
piece of it. But what it took away was that requirement that he pay an additional $4,000 or so a
right.
month.
Right.
So, we, you know, combination of this guy that had planned ahead, he had the long-term care policy in place, and we were still able to get Medicaid to cover that difference. So those three right. things working together put this individual in a great situation. And him being in the community still as the what we call the well spouse had enough money and his own income to still live on.
Right.
Which is
right.
which was a fantastic result.
Right. And we've had quite a few that we've done planning for too that have stayed in the community as well. You know, where we've
yeah.
applied for community Medicaid when they've had a policy. Because again, depending on what program we utilize under community Medicaid, you know, you're not always going to get the coverage that you really need. Right. So
yeah.
you may get limited hours and, you know, you've got the long-term care policy that can kind of kick in for that. But then you've got community Medicaid that we can kind of like lean on as well, because your policy isn't going to cover what you really need it.
And the great thing about that,
24-hour care.
The great thing with the community Medicaid, too, is even if the policy is not covering the policy is covering most of the cost at the beginning because my needs aren't that high.
Right.
A lot of times your needs are eventually going to get worse, and Medicaid's already in place. We can get you reassessed
right,
and get
so
more hours.
Just keep adding.
So right. it's, you know, already all the work's already done to make it, you know, increase those hours in the future.
Right.
The confusing part with community Medicaid that we run into is how Medicaid treats the monthly long-term care policy payout.
Right. Right.
Do they count it as income, or do they count it as, you know, going directly to the facility, I mean, to the care company, right?
Mm.
And that gets confusing sometimes. And we've helped clients navigate through that to make
right.
sure Medicaid counts it in the right way. But there's many, it's complicated, put it that way. And
right.
while it's really great to have, and again, one big thing is it does not negate the need for planning.
Right.
So I have a lot of clients come in with these policies, we review them together. Kim, I've brought you in sometimes to help review as well if they're trying to start using it, to activate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I say to them as well, you know, it's not going to necessarily cover all that cost. Why don't we also plan for worst case scenario? The policy does not cover enough, or the policy eventually is depleted, or you get that notice in the mail that your premiums are going up by 400% and you can't afford to pay that anymore.
Right, so what else can
these,
we do?
These
to
things
help?
Could happen,
right, right?
And then we get back to, you know, the conversation we have on the radio quite often about let's do asset protection planning. Let's create that Medicaid asset protection trust. Throw some of your assets in
yep.
there so that if this policy doesn't cover everything, which is often the case,
right?
We have other assets that are 100% protected. We can get Medicaid to start picking up the balance.
Right.
So long-term care policy and long-term care insurance is great, but it's not always the one thing that's going to protect you. I've seen recently, I don't know if you've come across these policies, Kim, they're becoming a little more common. And I, to a degree, I like them because they have some more benefits, but they are expensive. But it's a whole life or universal life insurance policy that has a long-term care benefit rider. Yeah. So let's say, for example, you have a death benefit on this life insurance policy of $350,000. The rider says, if I need long-term care services while I'm alive, I can activate, or I can access, rather, some of that death benefit to pay for that long-term care. Mm-hmm. So if I activate that death benefit and I, you know, say use $200,000 while I'm alive on a $300,000 policy, when I pass away, my family is still going to get that other $100,000.
Right.
So it, that's nice there. The other benefit of that is with the straight long-term care policies, typically if I don't use it, all those premiums I lose.
Right.
With the whole life insurance, it builds a cash value. So if I do have to cancel it, I get a lot of the money back. Or if I don't use it while I'm alive, I still have the death benefit in tow.
Sure.
So that's a valid option for many people. Like I said, the premiums are still quite expensive, but it's worth exploring. You know, especially if you're still somewhat young and healthy, you might get a better rate on that, kind of planning for the future.
Right. One of the, it was interesting when we... I mean, I think the takeaway from all this conversation this morning really is about planning, right?
Yeah, always
and,
is.
One of the, and I don't remember who exactly said it during the different folks that spoke at our open house, but somebody referred to what we do as life planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so great because it is true. I mean, most firms don't have a social worker on staff, right?
Yeah.
And we are all in constant conversation, you know, you, Jay Marie, Dave, and I, just about the different scenarios and different client scenarios, but also working with people's financial advisors, working with the other people that are on their team, because we want to encompass that full plan for somebody.
Yeah.
And it has to work together. And we want everybody to understand, like, you know, how your retirement benefit works with your pension benefit, works with your VA benefit, works with your, you know, all the other things that you could be eligible for, that you don't really understand how all of those pieces fit into the puzzle together.
Yeah, it really is a disservice to look at one facet of someone's planning in isolation.
Right.
You have to take all those factors into consideration, all those parts of their life, the tax implications, like you said, financial advising and you know,
yep,
wealth management, making my money grow for me, the legal side, making sure my documents are in place, I'm planning to protect those assets that I'm trying to grow, and then also having someone, and I always, you know, tout you, Kim, in the field, in the, you know, that can go in and help the family in that situation and give them options as to different resources that are available and how to enforce those long-term care policies. You know, not many offices do that. And I think it's really nice that we do offer that feature.
Right. Well, and just sitting down around the table and saying what makes sense for
yeah.
me as I grow older. And a lot of times when we're talking about the different planning, it's just even establishing those initial estate planning documents, you know, healthcare proxy, power of attorney, will, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it can be quite simple in the beginning.
It can be.
Right?
And, you know, the conversation that we're having with somebody in their 50s is going to be much different than a conversation that we're having with somebody in their, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, and even hundreds. Because, you know, I'm working with a client right now who just turned 101.
Yeah, everybody's living longer.
Everyone's,
you know,
living longer.
Yeah.
And so you want to plan for that longevity. You want to plan for the ability to somebody to remain wherever it is that they want to be, whether it is at home or whether it's, you know, a higher level of care where they, you know, can get some of those additional benefits. There's just lots of avenues that we want to be able to explore with people, and doing that early planning is critical to that, so that
yeah.
the options are available.
Yeah,
and I think that's the big thing, is just keeping all of your options available and, you know, being able to, you know, live the life you want to live.
That's it. Way to bring it home, Kim. Thanks, everybody.
We'll
see you next week. Have a good weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.